Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and it's the Monday show, and thought I'd go off a little different direction, ask my spirit guides, what are we going to do today? And for some reason, the idea of channeling or talking about channeling or discussing channeling came into play, so that's what I will do today. But also, I've been working with a meditation, and it's a loving kindness meditation. And if I can describe what the meditation does for you, it basically is for your health and also your well-being and your spiritual connection to all that there is. But the meditation really has been used in scientific communities and in universities, and people who practice the meditation lower their blood pressure, actually have benefits to the heart and the being. So it's a really, really excellent meditation. It takes the meditation itself takes about, once you get into it, about 5 minutes to do, 10 minutes to do at the most, if you want to extend it a little bit. So I'd love to do that with you today. And I've been reading this book by a gentleman named David R. Hamilton, whose background was in the pharmaceutical industry in Scotland. And he designed drugs and for the cardiovascular system, and they would do trials, on the drugs, and they would have the placebo and have the drug. And he found out through working with the drug trials that a lot of times the placebo effect had just as good of a outcome as the actual drug. So he wrote quite a bit about this and the placebo and what you think, your emotions have as much to do with your health as anything else. So his latest book is about the concept of kindness and compassion and how that kindness and compassion can actually affect your health in a positive way. Just being kind to others, being kind to yourself. So that's what the meditation is about. So I thought I'd do that with you because I've been practicing it myself. Now, you don't expect immediate results, but if you practice it every day and for a period of time, there is, as the trials have shown, the tests have shown that people actually improve lower their blood pressure and other benefits. And it's about sending kindness to yourself and to other people and extending it. So it's called the loving kindness meditation, or in Indian Sanskrit, it's called a metta meditation. So we'll do that later. I wanted to talk about channeling a little bit and offer you the opportunity for me to either channel my spirit guides, my spirit group, the Sarah group, or if you want to talk to a dead person, ancestors, famous person. Now, I don't necessarily channel them, but I do get information from them. And so that's what we'll do today. So I'm open to your contacting me. And so if you have any questions for spirit, contact me. And if you want to kind of get a connection, a message from, one of your ancestors. I'm sorry, I got distracted. I've been posting all over the place this morning on different things, different subjects. So yeah, I was watching animal videos this morning. And a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, she had a picture of herself, a friend of hers took in a field with her horse. And it was a beautiful picture. So I had to comment on that. It was a bonding. And it's this whole concept of two life forms, beautiful life forms, intelligent life forms, humans and horses. When you bond, it benefits both of you. It's like with your dog or your cat. I don't know about pigs. Maybe. I don't know. There's a certain level of life form where it does have an impact, where you both are secreting what they call oxytocin, and it's a feel-good chemical. And oxytocin, not to get it too much into the scientific aspect of it, and that's what the meditation is all about too. And now indirectly, it's about releasing oxytocin into your body, and the oxytocin helps release nitric oxide into your system. And the nitric oxide, what that does is open up your blood vessels, your arteries, technically your arteries, and what that does is lower your blood pressure. So now that you've got all the scientific aspect of it done, so you can, science is proving that you can lower your blood pressure. Now, I'm not telling you to do that by using meditation. I'm not trying to tell you to do that if you're out of medication. I am, so I'm kind of being careful with it. I want to make sure that I do what I need to do to keep it lower. So, but there might be another avenue. There might be another way of helping your heart and your blood vessels and your blood pressure through meditation, through using love, by using kindness and extending it to others. So we'll do the meditation later. Couple articles on channeling. I thought people would, maybe I'd give you a little bit more information on channeling. First, I'm going to give you an article that's a little negative about channeling, but I wanted to put the negative out there. I wanted to, okay, this is what science has to say or psychologists have to say about channeling. So and people can judge for themselves whether they believe it or not. And so we want to, so I wanted to do that first. And it's from, where is it from? Oops, I get the wrong one all the time, right? Life, Live Science, one of those science, channeling and spirit guides, voices from within, not beyond. That's the article. Benjamin Radford, Life Science contributor. And this was in July 31st, 2013. The practice of channeling, I'm going to go through the article. I'll check back and see if anybody wants to talk to me. And then we'll get more about the other perspective on channeling from a couple different sources. And I'm going to channel for you. And so you get to judge for yourself. That's the whole thing. And I always say it's the message. If the message has value, if the message will introduce something new into your life that you haven't heard before, and from my perspective, when they present things to you, when I channel, there are things that I've never heard about in the sense of different ways of looking at things, different ways of addressing an issue that I go, really? I never thought about that. Okay, so to me, it's kind of different. It's real. Okay, so a person's body being taken over by a spirit for the purpose of communication has been around for millennia. There are countless stories of shaman, witch doctors, prophets, and others who claim to hear voices or receive supernatural knowledge from the spirit world. You could throw psychics in there too, couldn't you? The psychic people, right? Channelers, also sometimes known as psychic mediums, often use what they are called spirit guides. Okay. The friendly spirits who give them knowledge and help them on their spiritual journeys. So far, we're okay, right? According to Sanaya Rowan and Dwayne Parker, authors of Opening to Channel, How to Connect with Your Spirit Guides, channeling is a powerful means of spiritual unfoldment and conscious transformation. As you channel, you build a bridge to higher realms, a loving, caring, powerful collective higher consciousness that has been called God, all that it is in the universal mind. Channeling involves consciously shifting your mind and mental space in order to achieve an expanded state of consciousness. Now, they're quoting, the author here is quoting the book on the Opening to Channel. Now, I've read the book many, many years ago, and it was one of my first introductions to the idea of channeling. And I read the book, and I thought, I probably could do that. Now, I came from a really strict spiritual, religious background where channeling, the thought of channeling was kind of like buying into Satan, right? Buying into the devil. But I thought, okay, I could do that. And it was kind of interesting in my case, just shortly after reading the book and going through it, there was a channeling class that opened up. Synchronicity, right? To achieve this expand, I'm back to the article. To achieve this expanded state of consciousness, channelers usually meditate, try to break free of the worldly influences and tune into higher consciousness. They may imagine themselves seeking out specific spirits of the dead, or they may be contacted apparently unbidden by some unknown force who wishes to communicate. Well, that's a little different than that, but okay, I'm going to go through the skeptic's point of view and then just give you my take on this. Okay, when most people channel to seek inner wisdom, entire books have been written supposedly by ancient spirits channeled through modern mediums. In fact, there are hundreds of such books, many of which can be found in New Age sections of bookstores and libraries around the world. The most famous writer channeler was Jane Roberts, who claimed to channel, I like the way they put this, claimed to channel an ancient wise entity called Seth. And I've read some of the Seth material. I found it really fascinating. You could put Esther Hicks' Abraham material into the same category. For her 1972 bestseller, Seth Speaks, as well as popular sequels, Roberts as Seth dictated esoteric information to her husband about the soul, the nature of consciousness, spiritual truths, higher planes of reality, and so on. Since the 1980s, the New Age mystic J.Z. Knight was claimed to channel Rantha, also known as the Enlightened One, a 35,000-year-old warrior spirit who described, among other things, being born on the fictitious continent of Atlantis. Knight became a multimillionaire writing books and offering seminars and DVD teachings, the wisdom imparted to her by Rantha. Okay, so we're going to skip that section. So they say that channeling has waned in popularity in recent years, but I think the Abraham material has kind of brought it back into a focus that some people don't realize. Oh, yeah, there are people out there who don't call it channeling, but are influencing people in a very positive way. So is channeling really is channeling real? What's going on? This seems to be no real evidence that the information is truly coming from unseen spirits or some omnipotent cosmic consciousness instead of the channeler. Virtually all channeled material is of subjective, mystical, and complete unverifiable, often including themes of universal love, messages from God, cosmic unity, and so on. Channeled information from different sources is often contradictory. A dozen different spirits, presumably dwelling in the same afterworld, give a dozen different accounts. That's not my experience. From my channeling and the channeling of my teachers and the Abraham material, it's all very similar. Made a little different take on it. You know, it's like different shades of the same color, but it's the same color from my perspective. Okay. But I'm giving you a different point of view on channeling, so you can judge for yourself. Okay. Channelers in different places and times say the same things. Indeed, studies have shown that channel information changes with the times and tends to reflect ideas in popular culture at the time. Now, you could look at that from a different perspective and say, well, you know, maybe that's a little different than that. Okay. Now, you got the article kind of blends mediumship and channeling together, and channeling from my perspective and from the other articles I'm going to talk about is really the connecting to higher spiritual energies, spirit guides. It isn't necessarily channeling dead people, ancestors, famous people, getting messages that from that. Okay, so what would help verify channeling as a real phenomenon would be to have accurate, concrete, and verifiable information revealed that only the spirit would know. For example, a person who truly channeled Einstein would be able to continue making important physics discoveries long after his death, or a father who died unexpectedly left his affairs in disarray would be able to tell his wife and family through a channeler whose important documents are located to help settle his estate. If people could communicate with spirits of the dead, it would be a tremendous boom to the law enforcement. And there are channelers that do that. There are mediums. I'm going to differentiate between the two because they kind of throw the both together. And I'm not going to go, let me skip the rest of their talking about really about mediums versus channels. So the psychology of channeling. Now, I'm just presenting this as a point of view, so you can take it or leave it, because I will channel my spirit guides. And I look at things from I try to be objective. I try to be kind of, I was raised in a very analytical family. And so I'm open to hear other points of view. Instead, channelers are often able to provide unimportant, unverifiable, ambiguous information about the great beyond. The real explanation for channeling lies in psychology, not psychic powers, as psychologist James Elcott of York University notes in the Encyclopedia Paranormal. The supposed phenomenon is actually very old, but is simply automatic behavior over which the individual denies any personal control. Today, we recognize that automatic magnetism is a form of disassociation, an altered state of consciousness in which an individual is capable of speaking or acting without awareness of delivering doing so. In other words, when a person meditates and clears his or her mind, random thoughts, images, and symbols may spontaneously arise in this harmless disassociative state, though it may seem like this information is coming from other consciousness outside the body. In fact, it is generated by the mind itself. Now, I've read that before, and some authors would say that, okay, it's not really outside of you, it's your higher self, it's your higher consciousness. Okay. And one book I read on the whole subject said about 90% of the channels are actually channeling their higher consciousness. Now, they're saying it's your mental process, but it's not even connected to a higher consciousness, the other part of you in the non-physical world. So, some channels have been proven frauds, pretend to, okay, we won't get into that. There's a whole difference between mediumship and channeling in the sense of, like, in my case, I don't necessarily channel dead people. I get messages and I hear things, and it, what validates for me when I'm getting a message from a dead person is not so much whether or not it's the person, it's the message. Because if you resonate with the message and if it means something to you about your life and what they're telling you about your life, you're doing, and who you are, and they're giving you information about yourself, then it's valuable, or they're giving you direction in your life to do something, be something, go somewhere in the sense of take this course of life. That's meaningful. Okay. I'm going to check back with you guys and see what everybody wants me to channel for them. But I do have a caller. So we're talking about channeling today and spirit guides and dead people and all that fun stuff. So I'm going to get a little bit more into, if I have time, I'm going to do the meditation today, the loving kindness meditation, which is an excellent meditation. If you practice it on a regular basis for both your spiritual and physical health. Okay. Should I take the call or should I read another article on channeling? I'll take a call, then I'll read another article on channeling. And from the other point of view, now that was the skeptic. And the scientific community, and I've read that, and I'm not totally objective to, because there are people who fake channeling, and I've seen fat channels that I go, really, seriously, I don't believe you, you know, I don't take what you're saying to be, it's something that part of your mental process. Okay, I agree with that in some cases, but I believe that, like in the Abraham material, Esther Hicks and some other channels, they actually are getting wisdom from outside themselves. And the Michael channeling, which is one of the things I'm going to quote. Okay, so let me take a call. Then we'll get back into a little bit more about what is channeling. I have a great article about defines the different types of channels. Hello.
Hey there.
Hey.
Great topic. Was one.
And whom am I speaking to?
This is Sherry.
Sherry, what's going on?
Not much. Was wondering if you could channel something for me on from the other side or get any messages.
From a dead person?
Or live entity or?
Well, I mean, dead person, one of your ancestors or famous person.
Yes,
I differentiate that between channeling that and my spirit guides. It's a little different. And I don't think they're ready to come in. I think they want me to finish up something. So let me see what I get anything for you, maybe from an ancestor instead. Okay?
Okie doke.
They're not that picky, but I think it's more of a more about you and what you're doing. Female.
Thank you.
Female, father's side of the family. Female, father's side of the family. Not a grandmother, but more like an aunt. Okay, that side. It's because I got like great great aunt or something like that. So it's father's. I said father's side of the family. Female energy. Aunt versus grandmother, okay, so I keep getting pulled to the aunt thing. So I don't know if you knew about a great aunt or great great aunt, but that's who it is. Nice lady, very friendly, very warm in her human experience, but obviously she's carrying that forward into her. So what does she have to say to you about your life? Because that's usually what they want to talk about is you and what you're doing. Okay, I'm going to give you a weird word. I don't know why I get this. And maybe she'll give me more. Hopefully she'll give me more clarity because it doesn't make sense to me. The word is stripes. Stripes. Like, and I see the zebra. So, okay. I think what she's saying is be proud of your stripes. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but what stripes is your different colors, the different aspects of yourself. Like the zebra, it's different than all the other animals like it, and it has this really striking stripes down the, you know, on its body, right? So what she's trying to tell you, is to be proud of your stripes or your differences, your complexity of personality, your complexity as a person. That you were made that way. You came here to be like that. The yin and the yang within you, the different aspects of your personality, but they seem to be conflicting at times, is what she's saying. There seems to be conflict within you, like black and the white, right? The stripes. They don't blend into a gray, and that's a good thing for you because you don't need to be blending into gray. You need to be black and white at times. Ah, that's what she's saying. Does that make sense at all to you? I don't know why
I
say that.
I love it. I do. Keep going. Yes, please.
Well, I don't know how much more she has to say, but
that's what I meant with yes, it resonates.
Okay, so what about the stripes? Black and white. Don't be black and white. Your stripes are your differences. Your both your analytical and your profoundly intuitiveness work really well together. So that they form a unity of purpose and a unity of direction in your life, so that you need to honor your stripes, honor the black and white within you, and never try to it's not necessary to try to blend into a gray, because the gray would make you boring. Okay?
Yeah.
So you can be very outspoken at times, right?
I haven't been lately.
Well, you've been that way. So what's wrong with that?
Just doesn't serve me in the location that I'm at right now.
I think she's trying to tell you that you need to honor that part of yourself, the black and the white. So probably you're in the white part and not the black part, or you're in one aspect of yourself, but you're not in the other aspect of yourself right now, correct?
I would say yes, yes.
So she's telling you, don't worry about it. You're gonna balance yourself out. The pendulum will swing to the other side for a while and back somewhere, but the neutral doesn't serve you well for some reason. I don't know why I say that, but that's kind of an interesting thought for you. So just know that you'll swing back and forth, and it's okay.
Okay.
It works. There's no problem with it.
Interesting.
Just honor that. Honor the black or the white, the stripes. I keep seeing the zebra. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go for it. So if you're in one place and you're following one path or one, and then if you swing to the other, that's fine. If you go back and forth, it's okay. You don't have to blend. You don't have to be neutral. You can be outspoken when you need to be outspoken, and you can be quiet when you need to be quiet. Okay?
That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. You take care.
All right.
Now, interpreting what I just told her and going from what the article said, I wouldn't know that about her. I wouldn't know that she has these. Now, we're all different and we all have multiple. Some people try to blend and some people try to stay neutral and some people don't want to rock the boat. But it was interesting. The stripes is really an interesting concept. And I think that probably good for a lot of people out there. And the message is really good for a lot of people that if you don't get upset if you're not into what you think you need to be doing, because you'll get back there someday. If you're really outspoken and you're kind of in a quiet space, don't worry about it. You'll get back there. So let's get back to channeling. Let me give you a quick one because that's the science one. We're not going back to the science one again. Impact Wisdom and Wellness Center founder Anne Reich, PhD, wrote about channeling. And let me read part of her thing. Channeling can be done in two different ways. We'll read a little bit to start this part of the article. I won't get into what channeling is. Conscious channeling is done while being aware of what is happening, including being able to stop the experience at any time. The channeler may remember what has been said to a varying degrees. Often conscious channels will say that they hear themselves speaking as if they were at a distance. Yeah, I say I'm in the other room when they're speaking, as if they are listening from another room. That's what I just said. When told about what was said, they often feel it was remembering a dream. I don't know about that part. There are many people currently alive on the earth plane who consciously channel. For example, Esther Hicks brings through the group of the entities that refers to themselves as Abraham. They speak about the law of attraction. Trans channeling. Aha. My teacher, my mentor, was a trans channel. So trans channeling is done while in a deep trance state. But one of the most famous trance channels was Edgar Cayce, arguably. He was referred to the sleeping prophet because he only channeled while he was in a deep trance state. This meant that he lost all muscle control and had to be lying down. He was also unable to remember what he said, which meant that his secretary had to be present to take dictation and then describe the notes from the channeling session. Now, I'm a conscious channel, but I don't remember much after the channeling. And over a period of time, over a few hours, it's gone. Unless there's something specific for me to remember, then it goes away. It completely goes away. Going back to the article, and the lady said, my guides have explained to me that due to the thinning of the veil between earth plane and the dimensions, there's no longer necessary for most people to be in a deep trance in order to allow channeling to occur. Why would this be? They explained that many people are present on the earth at this time who have a vibrational light that is already high enough to allow an entity to join with them without inducing deep trance state. For this reason, more and more people are finding that they can consciously channel. So you could do it. Anybody, not anybody, but it's about raising your vibration. And when I studied channeling, I actually took a class in it. The first few weeks of the class was really all about just raising your vibration. Now you can do that through meditation, but also as spirit worked with me, it was also ridding myself of certain habits, alcohol, certain foods that bring your vibration down. So if you're not wanting to really channel, then you kind of have to look at your lifestyle and go, well, you know what? I don't want to raise my vibration that much. I don't want to be a space puppy. So back to the article. I got a car in the next building going crazy. However, for most people, it takes time and practice to learn how to channel. Each channel needs to learn how to relax his mind, their mind and body, and allow them to step aside in order to make room for the entity to use the body. Now, that's the biggie, is being willing to let that happen, because it's like, oh my, you know. It's a trust issue, and it takes time to overcome the trust part. And I've taught channeling to people, and it took a while for them to trust, to get into that place where they would allow it to happen. Some just kind of freaked out, said, no, I don't want to do this. I can't do this, which is okay. I think that's all. Okay, let me run more little section. These there are people, some people who I describe as natural channelers. I happen to be a natural channel, so I know this can happen. These are people who channel or learn how to channel easily. I was actually very nervous about channeling, but I channeled the first time I tried it with my teacher. Now, it took me a little bit longer than that. But I knew I had something going on because even when I was much younger, in my late teens, early 20s, I was in a ministerial program and I would tell things to people and I'd go, where did that come from? That wasn't me. So I'm a natural channel, but I had resistance to it from, you know, both my analytical side and also the former religious side. Kind of like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? After years of teaching this topic, I have found that natural channels usually have channeled at certain times in their lives but didn't know they were channeling. Raise my hand. Saying something, being unsure where it came from. Raise my hand. There also appears to be quite a few natural channels who are automatic writers. That's not me. Which is a form of channeling where it only uses the hand writing or hands typing. Esther Hicks does that. If I remember correctly, she can sit at the typewriter and the hands kind of move their, do their own little thing, right? Additionally, Bill, those are natural channels, probably channeled in a previous lifetime. Therefore, they're remembering how to do something that they already know how to do. I have no idea. I've been regressed to a couple of recent past lives, but they weren't anything like this. My last couple of past lives were not very spiritually oriented. More of the warrior side of me came out in the last couple of lifetimes. Oh, I have another caller. Okay, then I'll let my spirit guides channel you. I've given you a little bit of information on channeling and what the differences are, and then I will channel, but I'll take a call first. Yeah, I don't remember a lifetime of actually being a channel. Maybe it was, I don't know. I'll have to delve into that one and ask. Okay, so 480. Hello.
Hi there. Hi.
Hey there. Hi.
Hello.
You're cutting out extremely.
Might be in a bad location.
What? Hey, what? I'm sorry, you're cutting out.
Am I okay? I'll try to come back.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. For some reason, it was a really bad connection. Let me just think. Bye. Okay, so if they want to call back, cool. We won't do the meditation. Oh, I don't know if the person's going to call back or not, but that's okay. There was another article on channeling that I wanted to cover. Yeah, that's pretty much a lot of it, right? I have some things from the Michael material. Michael is a group of entities also like Abraham that has been channeled through different individuals, not just one individual. I've read a couple different books through the same source of Michael through different authors. Yeah, and so they might want to look up this book. It's called Bread and Buried, The Messages from Michael, The Electrifying True Story of Our First Contact with the Supernatural Messages from Michael. And it's Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough. So if you want to look that up. But I've read other books based on the channeling of the Michael material. And there used to be a whole society of channeling of Michael. And we even did that in the group that I was in for a long time. So one of the people would channel Michael. Yeah. That kind of proves a different point. If different people are channeling the same entity and giving very similar messages, and these people don't know each other, comes a kind of validity, because Michael got into in the Michael material, not like Archangel Michael, they just used the name Michael. They got into different things about people, and it was really fascinating about our soul ages, our soul levels, our roles in life, and it was very extensive, and I thought it was a very interesting material. So if you ever get a chance to look into the Michael material and read any of the books, they're really fascinating. Okay, let me check back. Okay, well, we'll leave that one alone, the Michael teachings, and I think there's a website for that. Oh, I already got it for me to look up another time. Aha! Okay, 111 number. I wonder who the 111 number is. Yeah, I call it the fence post call. So let me take that, and then we'll let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit. Hello.
Yeah, I would like to know more about the Breaded and Buried.
Oh, it's not a cookbook. It's about channeling. It's about spiritual messages. Okay? It's spiritual messages.
Sorry about that.
It's okay?
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was calling a cooking show.
No, you're
not.
Do
you have any good pumpkin recipes, by the way? I actually was calling about pumpkin spice.
No, I don't. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I don't bake much.
Pumpkin
Thank
spice
you.
Milk?
Okay. I don't do
spice.
That. Sorry. Okay, roasted, be good. Have a beautiful day. Bye. Okay. Well, that was like an interesting call, and I'm sure whatever. It either is being very sincere or a troll. Well, take your choice. I don't know. So I'm gonna let my spirit guides talk to you for a few minutes about channeling, and maybe we'll do the meditation tomorrow. The meditation about kindness, loving kindness, and how to affect your body through releasing of oxytocin and all these beautiful chemicals that'll help you to lower your blood pressure, and not insult scientific. So let me talk to them. My spirit group is called Sarah. It's a group of entities that just use the name, and there are different entities that come in and out of the group. We would say it's okay. It's okay to question everything. We would say question us, question anybody who says that they're receiving information from the non-physical world, from the spirit world. Question it. Validate it. Put them to the test. Make sure that you're aware of where they came from and why they're doing it. We think it's important. If you're going to get information and you're going to use that information, and you're going to apply it to your lives and to help you to live a, let's say, happier life, a more prosperous life, then you need to validate the information. The biggest validation that people can do is listen to themselves, pay attention to their souls, pay attention to their heart, pay attention to their intuitive feelings on a subject. If you're getting a message from a spirit guide or a spirit group or an ancestor or whatever it might be that's supposedly coming in towards to give you something, how does it feel? Does it feel good? Is it based on love? Is it based on knowledge and information that is very practical to your particular situation? Now, George was reading this article, and it talked about being very general and very, you know, like esoterical at some level. That can be not necessarily harmful, but it isn't necessarily of benefit to you, because you get these esoterical statements, you get these feel-good statements all the time from people, from what you read, what you study, but they don't necessarily pull you forward into a life, to a, let's say, a more concrete situation of being able to achieve your goals in life. And that's what you're really looking forward. You're looking for information. Now, when channeling in this form, we're not going to give you concrete, specific information. It's more general as to the population that may be listening to the message. If we were talking to an individual, we would give individual information, not necessarily about cooking, though. That's not necessarily our expertise. You know, there are cookbooks. You have means of finding cookbooks. So we'll leave the cooking thing to someone else, and we'll use your Google to find cooking recipes. It's so much simpler than asking a spirit guide to talk about making certain kinds of foods. Now, we could advise you whether it's healthy for you or not. We could advise you that if you're consuming that certain amounts of this particular food group is going to be helpful for your particular health situation, we can advise you on that. But you always would say to you, go check with your doctor. Go check with a medical professional. And then weigh the two information. Weigh the information. You know, your doctors are overloaded with what they have to do. And a lot of them don't keep up with information that's going out into the medical and the scientific community. They don't keep up as quickly as they should because things change rapidly. the scientific community, the medical community is growing in information and new techniques and new information and new analysis of the body and how the body works, and the cellular level is changing rather rapidly in DNA. And there's been a whole breakout of DNA over the last few years and how DNA functions and how what affects DNA and what atmospheric conditions affect your DNA. And so all this information is pouring in to the doctors. Unless they stay on top of it. And that's why they specialize. You know that. Because they can't keep abreast of everything that's going on in the medical community. So if they study and they specialize in or specialize in cardiovascular, they specialize in eyes, nose, and throat. That way they can narrow their vision. But they can't, so the general practitioner, all they can do is direct somebody who has an expertise in that particular area. Okay, so we're actually giving this for George so that he knows that if when he goes back to a family practitioner and he talks about the cardiovascular system and they talk about he needs to go and see an internist, somebody who specializes in that particular area of the body. Versus someone who's a general practitioner who will listen to what you have to say, do a basic diagnosis of what's going on, and then refer you to an expert. So that's true of anything in the medical community. So they're overloaded with information. So we can give you some general information, and you need to speak to an expert in that particular area and see if it validates what we tell you about your, you know, we so much agree with what is being presented to people today about your health conditions. It's simple. It's really simple. Stress kills. Anything done in excess will kill. Now, a certain amount of stress is necessary in your lives because stress motivates you to get certain things done. You're aware of that. That's a very simple concept. Without a certain amount of stress, you wouldn't go to work in the morning. Well, I need to go to work because I... You know, but also there's that joyful aspect of it. Stress can also be getting you into past the little breaks that you have, the breakdowns, and into more of a joyful state. We could explain that more, but that's all right. We won't get into that particular one. We're kind of generalizing a little bit for the general public, for not specific individuals, but stress gets you motivated. Stress gets you motivated to do the things that you want to do too, not just the things that you have to do. You see the necessity. You have something that you're working on in a project and you get a little bit of the doldrums. You know, it's easy to just, never mind. But a little bit of stress and a little urgency there to go, okay, I need to get this done. I need to jump into this. And once you jump into an activity, like most humans will go, okay, they can spend hours doing it then once they get started, right? We're wandering off topic here a little bit, but that's okay. It's really about, we're not even going to talk about channeling, are we? We're talking about you and you getting motivated in life. And that's what we talk about. That's what we try to help you with, is to get motivated to the law of attraction, the principles that help you to achieve your particular goals in life and what's holding you back and what's the belief systems that are holding you back. This is a similar theme that we have presented to many different people throughout your planet, because you basically have lost sight of the important things in life. You've lost sight of your value. You've lost sight of where you're going and what you need to accomplish. You've got caught up in the ruts of life, and you lose sight of specific direction and purpose in life, and that's what we're here to help you with. So we'll leave you at that. This is kind of a general thing, and we didn't talk too much about channeling, but I guess the main point about channeling and is whatever you hear somebody and they say tell you that they're a channel, is to reevaluate the message. Does it apply to you? Does it help you? Does it move you forward in life? Or you just go, okay, that was nice. But there's no actual information that moves you a little bit further in life, or helps you to go, aha, I need to look at that. Okay? So we'll leave you there. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, that was my. Okay, I'm back. Well, I only have a few seconds left. Tomorrow we'll do the meditation, I promise. We'll get into it. We'll get into loving kindness. We'll talk about loving kindness tomorrow. Maybe we'll channel something about loving kindness. I don't know. And how to get there. And we'll do the meditation tomorrow on loving kindness. So, love you guys. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And we'll talk tomorrow. Bye.